And welcome to Manx Radio's General Election Candidate Interview Series. I'm our election producer, Amy Griffiths. And ahead of the island heading to the polls on Thursday, the 24th of September, we've invited everyone standing to take part in a 30-minute interview. Today, I've been speaking to Gabriella Corkish, who's standing in Onchan. And although this is her first time standing in a general election, she is currently a sitting Onchan commissioner. So, Gabriella, welcome first of all, and just talk to me about why you want to stand for the Keys.
Well, I think firstly, I've grown up around a lot of politics. My grandfather was an MHK and then went on to be an MLC. So I've grown up around a lot of that. Plus, I then joined the commissioners. I thought that was a good starting point to getting into politics. And I've loved it. I've loved being a part of the commissioners. The things I've achieved throughout that, meeting new people, finding new ways of working and understanding politics a bit more from a local authority point of view. But I think Onchan on a whole deserves, you know, clearer representation, clearer accountability, and a government that delivers. So I think, you know, that's sort of a drive for me to stand to be an MHK. You know, standing off my own merit, I'm not doing it because of family connections and things in the past, but I think it is time for that stronger representation and clearer accountability.
And as we mentioned, you're currently an Onchan commissioner. So what have you learnt about Manx politics from your time on the board there?
I think the big thing is that there's not as much coordination as there should be with central government and local authorities. If you're wanting to speak to a member of the House of Keys or you want to progress with something, it's very hard to do that because that connection between local authority and central government just isn't there, and that's something that needs to be worked on, and I would like to, if elected, work on that connection. But also it's taught me that you know, you have to be hold people accountable and you have to have that transparency there, but that government is very structured and it's more complicated than people think, and you have to take the time to understand that, whether that's listening to sittings or speaking to MHKs, commissioners, has taught me a great deal. I could sit here and talk about it all day about what it's taught me, but obviously I did know a bit about politics before going into the commissioners, but that's a completely different aspect to politics, local authority, compared to central government.
So then what makes you want to take that step from local to national politics now, and especially given your age too, because you are so young comparatively compared to most people who decide to stand for election?
I think at the moment, people are complaining, people aren't happy with the current administration. And that's something that I've heard a lot through speaking to constituents, being on the commissioners. People want fresh blood, younger people going through government, to have a fresh outlook on things, a younger outlook on things. And I think the commissioners has taught me a lot, and I love being a part of that. But it made sense to make the move now because people aren't happy. This is my chance to now show that there are younger people out there that can hopefully try and deliver on things that constituents and people island-wide want.
And if elected, you would be a voice for historically underrepresented demographics in the House of Keys, so namely younger people and women. So is that something that you think is important?
I think it's very important that young people especially take the time to engage in politics more and understand who their MHKs are, who their commissioners are, and what they do and what the difference is between that. But I think it's to encourage people why we vote, why it's good to vote, and that it gives them a voice for the future, that it's them taking, in their own way, taking part in politics without sitting in the hot seat, essentially. So I think it is really, really important to have someone in there to represent that younger demographic, but also to represent women as well. We don't have a lot of women in the House of Keys, and it'd be nice to see more women get involved in politics as well.
And with younger people, what is it about politics do you think that stops younger people being so engaged with it? And what do you think would encourage more people of your age group to actually want to learn more about politics and how it works on the Isle of Man?
I think, firstly, politics should be introduced through the schools a lot more, especially secondary schools. I mean, if you get to A-level, that's something you decide you want to do your A-levels, some schools have the option for you to learn government and politics, UK-based and US-based. But apart from that, that's only if you choose to do that. Apart from that, there's no compulsory education there on politics. So I think lots of people go through the education system and don't understand how it works unless they take an interest. So I think if that was introduced to school-aged children throughout school, you probably would get a lot more people interested and engaged in politics, as well as if you have members of the House of Keys and the Legislative Council engaging with youth as well and finding ways that, you know, they engage more. That may not necessarily be the newspaper, etc. You know, being more active on social media, updates, things like that, websites. Younger people are naturally more involved in technology. I think we need to embrace that and use that to an advantage, really, to bring younger people into politics.
And is that something that you would like to sort of spearhead if you were elected?
Definitely. I like to keep quite active with my Facebook page that I have for the election. I like to keep quite active with that and encourage people that I went to school with and people of my age, that demographic, to get involved and have a read about what it is I'm talking about and what I stand for and what I'm interested in. And if they have any sort of feedback on that or thoughts and opinions, I encourage them to speak to me about that, because I think it's really important that they have someone that they can trust and that is a similar age to them that they probably feel more comfortable talking to about their political opinions. So I would definitely like to try and lead on something that would engage younger people in politics.
Now let's look at your manifesto, and the tagline of it is experience should be judged by delivery, not by assumption. So just talk to me a little bit about exactly what you mean by that.
I think it's more the fact that people look at me and think, well, she's only 20, what does she know? She's got no life experience, you know, no proper experience in the working world. Well, obviously, I appreciate I am only 20 years of age. I currently work for the Tourist Board and have done now for, as well as the Welcome Centre, for nearly 3 years. I've been on the Commissioner's Board and still am. Plus, I've done lots of bits here and there. You know, work on a local dairy farm as well. So that shows you a different aspect to things as well. So I think I wanted something that shows that you don't always have to be super experienced. It's all people want to see delivery now. So I think it's really important to sort of push on that. You don't have to be that experienced. As long as you can deliver on what you've said and what your constituents want, then that's what it is, essentially.
And what makes you think that you would be the person that could deliver on these things?
Because I'm young and I've got a fresh outlook and a good outlook on life, as well as things that I've achieved within the commissioners. You know, I'm trying to improve things with social housing. We've just had something done. We're having reports done on all the play equipment for inclusivity and diversity and things of all the parks in Onchan. Things that I've put motions in for, I've got through the board and are now being done. So there's a consistent pattern there that things that I'm bringing to the board are being actioned, are being done. That's not always the case, but there's a pattern, you know, of me actioning something and trying to get it done and being very close there to getting it done. So I think that's sort of, and that's been what the encouragement has been there as well. You know, people have been saying, well, you've done so well in the commission in such a short period of time. You've actioned a lot. You've been a part of a lot. Make that next move. And I think you'd have very good possibility of getting things through in the Keys that will benefit people not only in Onchan but island wide.
And I suppose the difference with Keys compared to commissioners is that there's more people that you're trying to convince, mm-hmm. and because we don't have that sort of party politics system over here, it's, you know, you're going around 23 other individuals and going, please support me. So, you know, what makes you think that you would be able to do that and to convince people that your idea is the right one?
Currently, I work in a small team within the Tourist Board, and you know, that involves a lot of teamwork, and that's key with trying to pass something through the Keys. You can't do it on your own. You have to have a good backing of people to support your idea, but also to get their ideas as well and their feedback, because you're only going to make it better then. And I think, you know, you can't go in there and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it on my own. You've got to have good communication skills, good teamwork, and I think I really can, you know, deliver on that. And I work well in a team at the moment, in a small team. I work within the commissioners and at work and on other projects, the Manx National Farmers Union and the Southern District Agricultural Show. I'm also part of that. So that's working in a team to produce something good. And I think that that's a really good aspect to have, a good skill to have to going into the keys to passing something through.
So let's have a little look through your manifesto then and break down some of the things that you think the island needs, starting with what you say is a fresh perspective. So why do you think the island needs that, and why are you the person with it?
Well, I think my experience currently, and obviously in the Commissioner's civil service, I'm working on a dairy farm, that's given me a practical insight as to how things work inside and outside government. And I just think, you know, I'm grounded in experience, and I think it's really important now that we have a new faces within the Keys that will change things up a bit. There's a consistent pattern with how things are being done now. Nothing's being delivered. Things are being promised and nothing's being delivered. And I think bringing younger people in, and new people in general, I just think it's really important now that we take action on this, and we have a good split within the Keys of really well-experienced people in certain areas, but then people who are new to things who need to be mentored and sort of walked through it as to how things work. I just think, you know, you need that fresh perspective now to give the island the change that it needs.
And you've mentioned a few times that you think that this current government makes promises but doesn't deliver on them. Have you got any specific examples of that happening within this administration?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I don't... It's hard to give you a specific example, I think. But you constantly... I've heard from putting things out on social media that I think I put something out about... I mean, look, take first-time buyers, for example. I know that's been delivered on. I know there's a first-time buyer scheme there, but it's not talked about enough. So that's sort of an example, I suppose, is that, okay, we've delivered on some things, we've got some schemes, we've got things in place to benefit people, but they're not talked about enough, etc. But also... You know, people are talking about, well, we want to do this and we want to, but they never get done. And people realise that now. I think it's hard to give you an example because so much goes on throughout the Keys and Tynwald. It's hard to give a specific answer. But from talking to constituents and people outside of the Onchan area, they have seen that consistency of MHKs saying, you know, they make promises in manifestos, which... I think reading through my manifesto, I haven't got promises of their ideas because, you know, it's hard to promise something because you don't know who you're going to be working with and how you're going to work and stuff. So,
And I suppose as well, you don't necessarily know the challenges that are going to come up along the way too.
Exactly. A lot's happened in this last 5 years. And I think, you know, it's all stuff that the current administration haven't expected to come across. So you have to be prepared for that. I think you can't predict what's going to happen in the next 5 years. You could have, you know, your constant stuff that goes on with policy and bills, putting things through, but then you could have another cost of living crisis or something else go on that throws everything else out the window. So,
and if we look through some of your priorities, so number one on your list is around accountability and transparency. What do you think the government's currently getting wrong on that front?
I think at the moment, I understand this is quite a controversial topic, but the offshore wind farm is a prime example of this. Constituents are worried about. I mean, you can see from the petition that's going on at the moment. People are worried about what this is going to do to the island, how it's going to affect us. You know, what ties are involved and things like that. I appreciate there's periods of this sort of task, you know, getting these wind farms in place potentially, where the government can't talk about it, Ofsted can't talk about it, but there's a lot of covering up, I think, and nobody's being transparent about the process or what's going to benefit the island, how's it going to benefit our residents? Is it in the best interest of our residents and things? You know, there hasn't been a lot of transparency through this entire process. And I appreciate it's been going on for a long time now, but nobody really knows what's going on. And that is lack of transparency.
But then I suppose arguably part of that is down to the fact that the next Council of Ministers are going to have to be looking at the information from the review that's currently ongoing and making a decision based purely on that review and not on other perspectives. So do you think that's kind of part of the factoring of that?
I think so, yeah. And I appreciate it's a very difficult position to be in. Obviously with everything that's going on and with it being an election year as well, there is a lot of, you know, I'm questioned all the time, what are your views on the wind farm? It's very hard to make that decision. So I can't imagine what it'd be like for somebody in the Council of Ministers at the minute to try and make a decision on that and to try and work through that. But I think, yeah, at the end of the day, I appreciate transparency. Can't always, you know, there are things you can't talk about all the time, but people are feeling frustrated now because they don't know what's going on, and I think something needs to happen soon. You know, and I appreciate that that's going to take time. There's a process in place. I don't think there's any more information out till maybe September now. So people are going to have all these questions. People want to know. Someone's going to have to say something soon.
So then, where do you stand on the wind farm?
I know this is the worst answer I could give, but I am on the fence, and that's only as of recently. I didn't know a lot about the offshore wind farm, like most people, because the information is so hard to find. But I think I will definitely come out and say at some point where I stand with the offshore wind farm. But as of the moment, I couldn't possibly do it because I don't know enough. And I think once more information does come out, in hopefully early September before the election, with more benefits grounded in for the island, then I think I would definitely come out with a decision as to how I stand on that.
So if we're talking about accountability and transparency, what would you do differently to the current administration if you were elected and make sure that people felt like they, one, were being listened to, and two, were able to get the information that they were trying to get hold of?
Well, I think a very good example is to make use of oral and written questions within the House of Keys and Tynwald. At the end of the day, you're the voice of your constituents. If they, you know, collectively, you know, if there's something that's going on that they want an answer to, the best way to do that is through an oral or written question within Tynwald or the Keys. You know, debates, motions, they're always a good way of trying to hold things to account and to be transparent. But I think, you know, you've got evidence gathering committees as well. That's always I think a good way of trying to be held accountable. If people see you doing things and there's proof of that and there's evidence of that, then.
But those things are all already being done, I suppose, as well. I mean,
definitely. I think that you're 100% right there. Those things are being done, but are they being done enough? I mean, there's certain members of the House of Keys who are very, very consistent, very frequent within the House of Keys, but, you know, some members, you wouldn't hear anything from them. So I think by engaging with your constituents frequently, finding out what the concerns are, and then going into Tynwald with that frequently and being consistent with that, I think that's the best way forward to be accountable on things. And I appreciate some members do that already, and it's a good way to be, but not enough are.
And so, health and social care is another one of your priorities. And just talk to me about why it's so important to you.
I think because people are frustrated with health and social care because of wait times, accessing to services and things. But you've got to work with the Department of Health and Social Care to understand where those delays occur, and scrutinise the performance as well and see where, you know, support reforms and improve coordination between the services, because you can't just go and say, I'm going to cut wait times. It's virtually impossible to go in with no knowledge and do that. You need to go in and you need to sit with the relevant people within that department and find out where those problems are and see how we can solve those within the department and hopefully fix those problems for the people using those services, because some people are waiting months for appointments and things like that. There's got to be a solution to it, but you have to talk to the relevant people. I can't sit here and say exactly how I'm going to do it because I haven't spoken to the relevant people yet within that department.
And the big question for healthcare on the island is the cost. And you say you want care when you need it, not when the system allows it. So how do you think that care should be funded?
Oh, goodness. I think, well, it's difficult to... It's a difficult one to answer, really, because I'm not in there yet. I think there's a big misconception of it's very hard to answer something like that when you're not in there. And I think funding is a massive issue. I mean, look at Manx Care is costing millions and millions and millions. You know, there were figures released not too long ago, I don't think. And the whole idea of that is it wasn't going to cost a fortune. Well, it is. So maybe there's a way we need to look at how Manx Care is running at the moment and how the healthcare system is running full stop, and maybe look at how we can reform that slightly, and hopefully it would cost a little bit less. But once again, I wouldn't be able to give a firm answer until if I was elected, and then I would be straight in to see, okay, how can we do this? How can we do that? Because that is the big thing now, it's costing a fortune. We need to cut those costs as soon as we can.
Well, because that's the age-old disagreement between Manx Care and government, isn't it? Is it over budget or is it underfunded? And where do you stand on that?
I mean, I think it's hard to say it's underfunded, but also hard to say it's overfunded. I think it needs to be funded correctly. I don't, you know, I think without looking into it, you know, you need to see where the money's going specifically within there. What's the majority of the money being spent on within Manx Care? You know, do we need to divert some of that within the department to certain services and things like that? So couldn't possibly tell you as of now.
And one of the things that this current administration's tried to do with healthcare is it tried to introduce the NHS levy, didn't manage to get that over the line in the end. But, you know, is raising taxes to pay for the healthcare that we want something that you would consider?
I think that would depend on what needs to be done within Manx Care, Department of Health and Social Care, to sort the problems out. At the end of the day, I'm not experienced in healthcare. I couldn't give a strong stance on that. But I appreciate, you know, this is my first time doing this, and if elected, I'd be willing, very, very willing to learn and understand properly what goes on, how things are done, and if that is the case, then that may be something we need to look at. But it all depends on what needs to be done and how much is going to need to be spent to get it right. And I appreciate it'll be expensive in the long run to start off, but hopefully that will then drop the cost for us. So we'll have to wait and see, I think.
Well, one thing you do have experience in is the farming, and you say that farming, food and sustainability are another of your priorities. And yep. So as a dairy farmer, I'm assuming that you have some opinions on this and how this can be improved on the island.
Yeah, I think support is sometimes lost for our local farmers, who we should value so much. And I'm not saying that because I work for a dairy farm myself, but farmers, they do struggle. I think I've recently been a part of the committee for the Manx National Farmers Union. I've only managed to attend one meeting as of yet, because they always seem to fall on the day of a commissioner's meeting. But I think there's been so much inconsistency with the meat plant, the way that's run. I mean, you've got one chairman and then someone leaves and there's somebody else, and there's no consistency there at all. The prices of getting fertiliser and things like that, usually have to order in advance. We did order in advance and it still arrived late, which meant there's a knock-on effect to our produce then. And our planting, and obviously if you're bringing contractors in, that's very difficult. So farmers do experience those difficult scenarios, and I think there needs to be more support around that. It's the same with dairy farmers in particular. The price of milk per litre, that's something that needs to be looked at within the creameries, DEFA, etc. Because at the moment there are some people who are struggling. You know, it's costing them more to milk than what they'd receive. So I think I do stand with the farmers. I think that there needs to be a lot more awareness and support around them. I appreciate, obviously, it's not an easy task. But no, we need to support the local strength, local farming strengths around food security, you know, import less and promote the local produce more and keep local food affordable. Because at the moment, you know, people could say, well, I'm not going to buy local because it's cheaper to go to Tesco's and buy something that's been imported from wherever in the UK and further afield. So we need to look at ways to make local produce more accessible and more affordable for Manx residents.
And how do you do that? How do you make sure that local food is affordable and accessible while still making sure that it's priced so that farmers are able to make a living?
I think if there was support in there from DEFA for local farmers who produce local produce and things like that that they sell, have got an involvement in the farmers markets. So if there was some support in place for them to help to go that extra mile with and produce more, that they could then sell at a lower rate. But obviously more promotion around those local farmers markets. The lady that I work with on the dairy farm, she runs one certain days of the week each month. And I think if there was more promotion around that from the department and potentially even Department of Enterprise as well, I think we could definitely find a way of making it more accessible. I appreciate it's going into the supermarkets and things, but working with a big chain like Tesco's, it could be quite difficult.
Mm. And I think, do you think that when it comes to using Manx products, that there almost needs to be a mindset change amongst the Manx people? Mm-hmm. And actually, where do you even begin trying to do that?
I think it is down to the promotion of Manx produce. I think if people see really how fresh it is, you know, if it's coming straight from the ground, it's going straight into the farmer's market, and somebody's purchasing it and eating it, then, excuse me, it's, you know, surely that's got to be better than whatever has been packaged up from Tesco's. You don't know where it's come from, if there's been any fertilisers or anything gone on that. Plus, I think if there was more promotion from the meat plant, from the creameries, as to, I mean, I know the creameries did, I think it was the start of the year, did a big promotion on how certain products are made and you know, come straight from the farm to the creameries to the shop shelf. And I think that was a brilliant initiative for how, I think it was a month that went on for. That was brilliant. The meat plant could do something like that to just sort of show what the process is, how things are done. I think people would be more encouraged to show that, wow, it's fresh. Encourage using local butchers and things instead of going to the supermarket and buying produce and products there. I think there's just got to be, there's got to be that promotion there from the department, I think, and that will really help me. Farmers try to obviously push people to buy local, but it's one of those struggles. You've got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing.
Now, we are starting to run out of time. We are getting to the last sort of minute and a half of this interview.
Wow.
So, just finally, what is the main thing that you would like people in your constituency to know about you and if they were going to vote for you?
Well, I think really it's about bringing that practical, accountable leadership to Onchan and island-wide. And I believe that the change is needed, and I believe that I can help deliver that change. I know I can't do it on my own, but working well with other MHKs and people within government, I think I could deliver the change that the island needs. But if elected, I would like to bring that clear, practical and forward-looking approach to represent our island.
Amazing. And I think one point that we didn't touch on, that we do have very, very little bit of time to talk about, is you say in your manifesto that you are committed to the triple lock. So how would you like that to be implemented and funded? Or kept and funded, I should say.
Oh, goodness, you have really thrown me on the spot. I think all I can say really in such a short amount of time is that these people, pensioners, deserve to, you know, vulnerable residents deserve financial security. And I think, you know, it's you've got to target that. I think with cost of living and things, we don't want these people to struggle. They need to make sure, you know, they don't, like I said, you want them to have financial security. And I think keeping the triple lock is something that will help with that. I think, you know, we need to, these people have contributed over a lifetime. They now need to have that financial security and funding. Well, it'd take me forever to talk about the funding of it.
That was Gabriella Corkish, who's standing for election in Onchan. Also standing in the constituency are Rob Callister, Julie Edge, Rachel Glover and Oliver Lockwood. You can listen back to this interview, along with all the others recorded as part of this series, shortly after broadcast from your usual podcast provider. And for everything you need to know about the general election, just head to our dedicated website, which you can find at manxradio.com.